Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, August 9th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here. And with me is my honored guest, Dame Charlotte.
Wow. I got an upgrade since yesterday's show.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Is this what happens when I'm on 3 days in a row?
Maybe that's it.
I would get a damehood.
Yeah, there's, nice. There's a punch card system. Yeah.
Nice.
I don't remember what happens after 10, but we'll have to find out. We'll discover it together. So, HRH Henry is here today to discuss with us our first topic, which is Disney has come out with a bundle price, which will come as a surprise to approximately no one, that they want to give people a deal or a slight deal on all of the streaming services they have available. Does that sound about right, Charlotte?
Yes. So you can from November, you will be able to access the new Disney Plus service, plus ESPN Plus, plus Hulu, for $12.99 a month. Mm-hmm. Which, if you do the math, see how I did it in American there?
The one math.
You're basically, so let's get rid of let's forget about the pennies. Hulu is $6 a month. Disney is going to be $7 a month, and ESPN is $5 a month. So basically, if you have two out of the three, you're getting one either for free or for a dollar. Mm-hmm. Which, and I think it is a pretty compelling offer.
Yes. And I think part of what makes that a compelling offer is that for people who are interested in at least two of those, it all comes out as one charge. So it's sort of like having one subscription. Yeah. So it's not like now where like, oh, well, I do Netflix on the 8th and I have Hulu on the 23rd.
Yeah,
Prime is once a year and, you know, like whatever else you're sort of paying for.
Actually, if you think about it this way, the services that exist already, which are ESPN at $5 and Hulu at $6, if you then want Disney Plus, it's basically costing you what, $2 to get from 11 to 13.
Yeah.
So doing it that way, if you think about it that way, Disney Plus, the access to Star Wars, Disney, Marvel for an extra $2.
Yes. If this weren't a podcast, this is where the shut up and take my money picture would pop up.
Correct. When I wrote this up, I linked to a piece which lots of listeners should have read and should either go back to or read for the first time from John. Who at the time Disney announced its pricing rightly pointed out that its decision to go for $6.99 a month really put a price pressure on Apple.
Yeah.
And I think this decision only intensifies that. So if it's $9.99 for Apple TV Plus, that's one thing, and it's cheaper than this bundle, but what are you getting for it? Mm-hmm. It's not cheap enough that you don't think about it as an extra.
Right.
If it's, as John thought in his piece, and is entirely possible, somewhere in the region of $12 to $15, say it's $12.99 as well.
Okay.
And your direct price comparison is either these three Disney services a month for $12.99 or Apple TV Plus. Mm-hmm. I think I know who's getting my money.
I do too. And I'm Team Star Wars. So that's not going to be a hard sell.
I'm Team Sports. And as it happens, this is totally irrelevant to me because I can't get any of these services in the UK.
Yet.
But you take my point.
So, Andrew, what do you think Apple's going to do with this? I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. What do you think Apple's move is if this is where Disney's headed? And we know what at least, we have some idea of what it is that Disney's going to have available, because they're going to have Marvel movies, they're going to have Star Wars movies, they're going to have bonus Marvel stuff, bonus Star Wars stuff, and all the Disney movies. They even said in the presentation where they talked about this, the Disney vault is open. So all those movies on demand. I know somebody who said, I will happily pay $7 a month just so I don't have to keep swapping Disney DVDs. Like, I actually know someone who said that. So, Andrew, what do you think Apple's move's going to have to be?
Princesses.
It'd be pretty interesting to see Apple's price point. We talked about this in the past. The only thing that's going to be on Apple's service will be Apple's own shows.
Yeah.
Whereas the competition, the competitive advantage of this is that they have this backlog of all the other content in Disney movies, you know, everything you mentioned. Apple doesn't have that. So
have I mentioned the princesses?
Just based on that. Yeah, just based on that, I would think Apple's service would kind of have to be a bit cheaper. But given that it's Apple, I'm not really so sure.
Okay, well, tell me what you hope they do. Because I expect it's going to be like $10 a month. Like, that's Apple's sort of the going rate. Yeah. So,
yeah, that was my idea as well. Maybe $10 a month would be okay.
That's what I expect. But what do you hope? Because I have a very different hope than what I expect they're going to do.
Well, since it's videos, I really don't see it being any cheaper than $10. So I think $10 is probably the minimum that they would be willing to go.
I agree with Andrew.
Well, I think by itself, but I hope that if you subscribe to a Plus already, that it will be cheaper. Like, if you already have Apple Music for $10 a month, for $13, the same as this bundle, you can have TV Plus.
Okay, so I think Apple, you're right. I think Apple is going to have to create a bundle with Arcade, with TV Plus, with Music Plus, whatever. I think that is the only way for them to compete. So I do agree with you there. But I think on its own, I'm really struggling to see. And also, someone left a really good comment on the piece, actually, made a very good point. It's not only about price point, it's about what is on offer. And, you know, if you want to watch Orange is the New Black, the whatever it is, £12, what is Netflix in America, $12.99 or something?
Yes.
So that has value for you if you want to watch Orange is the New Black and whatever else is on, you know, some of the other original content. If you want to watch Mr. Robot instead, it doesn't matter if you how cheap Netflix is, because you don't want what's on Netflix.
Right.
I think what Apple is going to find the biggest challenge, and where Disney always had the biggest advantage, and we knew this from the start, was in the content it can offer.
Right. And right now, I have not seen, I have no familiarity with, I have no attachment to anything Apple has on offer. I am interested because they have a science fiction show from Ron D. Moore, who I enjoy. They have a show from Sesame Street, whom I enjoy. And, you know, they've got Oprah, a billion pockets, y'all, Winfrey. But I don't have any attachment to any of that. I have some interest, but I don't care that much yet. And, like, basically, Disney owns all the stuff that I would care to watch, except for, like, Stranger Things and a couple things on Amazon Prime. And I don't pay for Amazon Prime Video specifically. Like, we have a Prime account in my house, right. So I get the video as part of that, so it's like a bonus. Like, I'm not going out of my way to make sure that content shows up at my house. It just does. So that's kind of why I feel like Apple has to essentially give this away, at least until they can figure out how to snap up someone else's content library or something and have more on offer. Because if they don't have much on offer now, I don't care. Because do you know how hard you're going to have to try to compete with Star Wars? Really? Or princesses?
I think that's right. And I think that's a really good point, because both the two things we're also discussing, Amazon Prime and this Disney bundle, it's all a package. It's a bundle. You're getting a bunch of stuff for your money. Like you say, you're not only do you get some of the shows you like, but you got one day delivery. As a package, it's worth the amount that they are asking you for.
Right.
It is. So I think how they package this is going to be the real crucial issue. And we discussed it before on a show, didn't we, Kelly? We were saying, could they maybe do two of three?
Yeah.
How are they going to do this? But I really think Disney has got right out in front of Apple. It's used it. It had an advantage anyway in that it owned the right to all the content that people want.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the content anyway. Warner Media obviously has a Friends thing going on, which will help it, but...
But that's like all they've got, because the other stuff is all going to be HBO Max, which is a service we haven't even discussed yet because it's only announced where. But that's where all the BBC stuff is going. So,
Well, the BBC thing is interesting itself because there's BritBox as well, which is a combination of BBC and ITV, which you guys have at the moment in America, and they're bringing out here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could have a whole other show on subscription fatigue. But yeah,
we're going to have to. Because, like, I'm tired of talking about it.
Right. But, I mean, also people are tired of paying for it.
Right.
But never mind that. Because of that, Apple will have to really have something. Like, is Oprah enough to make you separate with $9.99, $12.99, $14.99 a month?
Well, I think this is a... And Andrew, I want to know what you think of this. Like, I think this is going to be one of those things where they're going to have to start practically giving it away. It's going to have to be a loss leader. Like, you know, we'll give you Oprah if you're already an Apple Music subscriber or whatever. Because they don't, like I said, they don't have anything that I know that I want already. They have some things I might be interested in, but I'm going to wait and see what people have to say about those shows. Like... You know, if it turns out that the Ron Moore show is terrible, I don't want to buy it. I don't want to pay for watching that if it's not going to be any fun. Or if the Sesame Street stuff isn't compelling enough, you know, people aren't going to buy it. So, like, you know, I'm super jazzed to see what Steven Spielberg does next, but I don't know that I need it for $10 a month or $15 a month. Now, if I already have Apple Music at 10 and for 12, I can have it. I would do that at least for a couple of months, and then it might turn, you know, maybe this is going to turn into a gym membership thing where you just sort of forget, but you keep paying. So, like, that's the only thing I can think that Apple has as a tactic. What about you, Andrew?
Yeah, two things. First, I've always hoped that Apple would create some sort of a la carte bundle where you can tap and choose which services you want and then pay whatever price they have overall. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be nice if, like you said earlier, they would give you a little discount.
Yeah.
And second, I think it would also be nice for Apple Video if they would let you watch the first one or two shows of a season for free, just so you can get an idea of, is this something I'm willing to pay for?
Yeah. That's a really good idea. I love the idea that you get that. And people are already sort of trained to that because with Apple Music, you get Carpool Karaoke, right? Which is a video program.
Mm-hmm.
But you only get the full episodes if you're an Apple Music subscriber. You can watch them on Apple TV or you can watch them on your phone or your iPad or whatever. But you have to be a subscriber to Apple Music in order to see that show. So I would like to think that that's something that's going to happen. I'd be very excited about that because I am interested in what they're doing, but it's, you know, it's still not Star Wars, or, you know, if you're somebody else, like, it's still not Star Trek, or it's still not Doctor Who, or, you know, whatever it is, like, it's not this other thing that I have known and loved for many, many years. Like, Apple doesn't have any of that right now. And so that's part of why we keep coming back to it, is because I really want to know how Apple's going to compete on a playing field where there's one company that owns virtually everything I loved in my childhood, and then there's Apple, which hasn't done anything yet, you know, as far as TV shows and programs like that. So it'll be interesting. Another thing that's interesting, while we're sitting here talking about interesting stuff, is our sponsor today. Our sponsor today is My Wall Street, And they want to help you get started investing in the stock market. They know that brokers can make it really easy, but they're not always really good at giving you advice or any sort of guidance on how to reach the goals that you have, or even if that's the goal that you really should be aiming for, given whatever your current situation is. And a lot of brokerages are looking to make sure that they get a customer and that they get the fees from that, but aren't always necessarily interested in making sure that you achieve whatever it is that you're setting out to do. And it can be really intimidating. And then you go look up information about it online, you get really overwhelmed. It's very easy to get overwhelmed because then, you know, once at that point, it's really easy to just sort of give up and decide the stock market's not for you. My Wall Street wants to change that. They offer a short list of stocks. Their investors have spent so many hours researching. Some of these stocks on this list have grown fivefold since they made it on the list. So they're trying to help you out that way as well. And they're not brokers, so they can offer you a simplified investing plan. And it's more like having an investing companion than it is like having a broker. As a TDO listener, you can access the entire app, all the advice, all the investment tips and tricks and that short list I told you about. You get all of that for free for 30 days instead of the usual 7-day trial. So you can do this. Here's how. You go to mywallstreet.com/TDO. That's mywallst.com/TDO, and download their app now, and you can get access to expert guidance and all of the stuff in the app, like I told you. You can continue that investment journey for $9.99 a month. And I would like very much to thank My Wall Street for sponsoring the show today. Now, our other topic, we just talked about how much money you can spend on a monthly basis. We talked about streaming. We talked about all of these costs. Andrew would like to tell us about a fun thing you can do with your computer for a dollar.
Wait.
Yeah, it's
Clara.
I've blown Charlotte's mind. $1.
So it's this proof of concept called Project Sistine. Some people put it together. So basically, you put a small mirror in front of the Mac webcam, and you angle it so that it's pointing at the screen. And using the software that they have, it's able to look down at your fingers and tell whether there's a reflection gap or not, and then map this onto this coordinate system they have. So they shared a couple of videos on their webpage, and you can see the person moving their finger in the screen where the cursor would be, like the cursor moves with it.
Oh my gosh.
It's a really neat idea.
Okay. So you wrote this up. It looks really interesting. Tell us why it costs a dollar. Could you buy the mirror?
Yeah, so all you need are a small mirror, the hardware that they list, a small mirror, rigid paper plate, a door hinge, and hot glue.
Okay.
Which that probably will end up being more than a dollar, but a dollar is more catchy.
Yeah. Well, it might be a dollar to, like, buy the mirror or the hinge or something, and then they just sort of assume, like, I mean, I have hot glue, but I don't assume that everybody has hot glue. So I read this. It looks interesting. It's definitely a neat idea. This is another one of those user interface kind of things, like Bob Burrow's demo video stuff that we talked about before. That was really interesting to see how the interaction, you know, was different based on what they could do with the hardware that they had. My question, though, to both of you, Andrew, I'll start with you, is does this make you more excited about having a touchscreen Mac?
Not really. I mean, I'm not really gunning for the idea of a touchscreen Mac, but I think that it would be a nice option, and I also think that it would be a pretty popular model.
I think so, too. Charlotte, how about you?
Yeah, I'm with Andrew on this, actually. It's, I don't particularly feel the need for a touchscreen. Maybe that's just because I haven't had one, though. It might be one of those things that when you get it and try it, you're like, this makes complete sense. I wish I'd had it all along. Possibly. But I'm not sitting, you know, working on my machine and thinking, oh, I wish it would be great if this screen was like an iPad and I could swivel things around and you know, it was touchscreen. I don't have that feeling, but I can see that there would be some uses for it. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see. I suspect if Apple did release a touchscreen model of a MacBook Pro, I suspect it would be very popular.
I think so too. I do think it would be popular. I don't think it would be for me, but I think it's just because I spent so much time on computers before there were viable touchscreen options for anything in consumer level tech. So I'm sort of hardwired to, like, a screen with a keyboard and a mouse is the way to go, and it doesn't have a touchscreen. Touchscreen is for different sorts of hardware. So I think I might try it, but it probably wouldn't be a fun thing for me to try and do. I think it would be really hard. So I'm interested. I think we're going to end up seeing one eventually, one way or another. But I think overall, I think this is a nice idea. And part of why I think this is a nice idea is because I wonder, like, with the potential of what they're doing, what kind of other stuff would be possible, given this kind of hardware and this kind of software, like the kind of things that you could do with user interface and user interaction on a laptop, mm-hmm. for example. That's always the kind of stuff I'm interested in, you know, seeing something like this is really cool. And the reflection gap, like, you know, and using that to track the mouse around, that's pretty interesting. And I wonder what else you could do with technology like that now that somebody's built it. So I don't necessarily want one. Like I said, I think I'm too hardwired. When I want to sit down with a touchscreen of a reasonable size, I sit down with my iPad and use that. So I think it would be weird to type and then go up and poke the screen and then type some more and then tap on the screen. To me, that seems wrong. It seems like you should have one or the other. So that's just me. Feel free to disagree. Lots of people do. You can do so by emailing us at observations@macobserver.com. You can leave a comment in the show notes, or you can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter. I think we're going to go ahead and call it there for today, though. Definitely go check out the article and check out the video of this dollar's worth of hardware and how to make that work, because it was pretty interesting stuff to see. I'd like to thank both of you for being here today. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Charlotte, thanks so much for being here. I'm sorry, Dame Charlotte, thank you so much for being here
today.
Thanks
so much. Yes, thanks for having me. I'm off to set up a load of direct debits to streaming companies.
too bad you can't do it on your new Apple card.
Ouch.
All right. I have been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you later. And until then, be excellent to each other.